Welcome once again to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung, and we're glad you're here with us. You know, just last week we had Greg Billings on the program, and this time I'm so happy to welcome yet another really wonderful singer. Say hello to Dr. Alex Harris. Hey, Alex.
Hey, Bill. I am glad to be here once again.
Yeah, man, it's always good to see you. we have loads to talk about. First and foremost, Alex has a concert coming up on the 13th, which is tomorrow. At the Palladium Theater. We're going to talk to that. But you're a man who wears many, many hats. So there's loads to talk about with you. I think most people know you as a singer, but you're also the co-founder and the CEO of the Arts Conservatory for Teens, which is a nonprofit after-school program in here in St. Petersburg. Tell me about it. For the folks at home, tell us what ACT does and why it exists.
Well, the Arts Conservatory for Teens, the acronym is, that's the ACT, A-C-T.
Uh-huh.
We started in 2012 as an official 501c3 organization. However, prior to that, we piloted the curriculum on 22nd Street at the historic Royal Theater. 2009 to 2012.
So
we've been around for a little bit now.
The Royal's great, man. I did a Vintage St. Pete story on the Royal.
Oh wow, yes.
The Y's over in there.
Yes.
And it was the history is a
so
great
much
place.
History.
Yeah.
James Brown, Dizzy Gillespie, Sarah Vaughan.
So what do you do at ACT? I mean, tell the folks what it does.
Yeah. So, you know, the inspiration, which was sparked even more learning about the history while we started the pilot. It really was to provide an access to students who were not who did not have accessibility to learning about creative workforce careers, whether it's dancing, singing, audio, engineering, lighting, design. As I continued to develop with our partners at the Arts Conservatory for Teens, what this organization and look at the needs that need to be met in our community. We saw there was an opportunity to focus on holistic youth development through the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And this
define,
really,
define what that means for
so
me.
So from a holistic perspective, we look at using the Kaiser Family Foundation research around social determinants, right? And so historically, we looked at healthy communities, access to medical health care and those basic things that still a part of the social determinants, but it also has to do with employment. It has to do with those type trainings. It has to do with healthy social networks. And so when we use the arts to engage the students, and I say meeting where they are, it's a gateway to one, help to create an environment that provides a hope conscious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you show me someone without hope, then it's a demise.
I totally get it.
So it's a lot that's happening with ACT that a lot of folks historically, our short history, we turned 12 this year, as an official organization, 501c3 organization. You know, as an after school or before school programming, but it is far more. The vision is far more greater than an aftercare type program.
There's
a lot of those organizations that are really great, and they've done that very well, and they continue to do that very well.
This is an extra step.
But this is an extra step that we realize the gap or the opportunity to respond to a need. I'm a person that don't like a lot of repetition in a specific space. We need a lot of it. But when it's already saturated and the needs are being met in one specific area, my question is, what are the other needs, right? And we started to discover these other needs through surveys, evaluations, et cetera, assessments that we've done. And then, you know, partnering with the head of research at Howard University, we were able to start further assessing the programming or curriculum that we are providing to ensure that we are continuing to meet the need and have greater impact. So we're super excited about what has happened and what is and the opportunities ahead.
Well, there's countless reports about how arts and creative endeavor and learning that sort of thing enriches right. the lives of young people. Yes. That's what we're talking about
yes.
here.
Yes.
In other words, I can learn how to fix a car, but if like I don't have a creative outlet, I'm just some guy who fixes a car.
Exactly.
It has to do with self-esteem.
Yes. Yes. And, yeah. Yes. All of those. So that's part of the holistic component as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, dealing with physical, mental, and we offer the health and wellness. We raise awareness around to take with the intention is at the end of the day, we want to remove the stigmas, right? Mm-hmm. Especially for students who may live in under-resourced neighborhoods or communities.
Yeah.
For too long, it's been a stigma around if we say mental health or even sometimes physical health. People look at it as something, but more so mental. So we utilize this opportunity through the arts. We teach psyche drama with a licensed clinician. We engage students with yoga, with sound healing through sound bathing. So, and to bring about an awareness of the rhythm of the sound and how it really does bring healing. And it has been absolutely amazing. Some of the principals that we work with have shared with us how it has been a great asset to their student body on the campuses. So when you talk about innovation, which simply means finding new ways to do things, I think we are in that space and we're having a lot of fun doing it because of the outcomes that we are seeing as a small organization. So we are looking to continue to grow through strategic partnerships. And I say that intentional. A lot of people use that word strategic and there's nothing strategic about it.
Yeah.
Like innovation has become
innovation
and there's nothing innovative about it.
Yeah.
But we really are intentional in our word choices and in our practice.
How has it changed in 12 years? I mean, you were talking about sound bathing and all that stuff. 12 years ago, do you even know what that was?
No,
you know?
that's the thing. We adopted this concept. I was talking with our team and I said, you know, RSS, R as in rally, S as in Sam, S as in Sam. So it's like respond, scale, sustain. Mm-hmm. We ask ourselves as a team these three questions, right? Are we responding to the needs or a need, right?
Yeah.
It can be singular or plural. And two, in our response, is it sustainable, right? And three, what we found in asking ourselves that which may be sustainable, is it scalable, right? So are we responding? Is it scalable, actually, then sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And so
RSS,
So RSS. So those are the three areas of focus because, to your point, 12 years ago, no. But we had to evolve with the evolving culture to see if it's responding to the need. And we say yes, because of the stigmas and that we discovered that's always been there, but it has come to the forefront, and these other ways or means or tools that can help enlighten as far as students to their bring awareness, right, to their own behaviors and thought processes. These different tools help do that, right? And we're right in our space, the arts, and doing all of this and psyche drama. You know,
see, I don't know what that means. You got to explain that to me. I pretend that I did, but I don't.
So we really look at, we bring in a clinician that works with a theater teacher and the students get a chance to basically, act, what you call it, role playing, right?
Oh, sure.
And it focuses on, problem solving and all these other, challenges that, all these other, things that often challenge the behavior of students in a not so positive way. So we take that opportunity, that stage, that platform with our clinician and theater teaching artists to work together to create this environment that teach students lessons to help with the intention for the outcome for them to overcome some of the challenges that they face around behavior, whether it's how we engage the others, other students, right? From how to communicate more properly, right, in a very mannerable way, or how we can overcome some of our, as you alluded to, self-esteem challenges.
Sure.
So there are many different ways that psyche drama really has been proven through research to help empower the student, and through educating them through the awareness and then these tools on how to overcome those things that challenge them from or could become even greater challenges or blockages to their growth.
So it's, it's not just after school dance class.
No, you know? It's much more. Many layers.
It's an after school arts thing. Oh yeah, well you know, and so there's so many layers. Yeah,
yeah, and that's part of the holistic. But you know, Bill, the other thing being in the community that really celebrates the arts, that I was going to say that we have really had a lean focus, I should say, on a specific area of creative workforce development, even though it's a lean focus, is very broad at that. Right? Mm-hmm. I shared earlier, you know, training not just on the stage, but behind the curtains as well.
Yeah.
And how the creative workforce is very, very much important to communities all over the world. However, I think we often think of the arts performing or visual as just a cultural part of the ecosystem, as opposed to the economic part of the ecosystem beyond the one event.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and so I want to be very specific.
Level, which is what we're talking.
Well, I want to be very specific beyond the one event, because often when we talk about how the arts impact, which is true, it's spoken of from an event perspective, whereas is not seen or is not part of the conversation as part of the ecosystem like the coffee shop is, other small business, or the boutique, you know, clothing store or a pizza shop, right? But we are all small businesses, and we teach the students as part of our holistic educational experience is the entrepreneurial side. We're creating something out of nothing. It's something that we're already doing, but how does that translate in a very transactional component around finance, right? So the students are learning financial literacy. The art of finance is what we relate to it, or the art of entrepreneurship, of the art of health and wellness. That is the robust approach to what we refer to as a holistic youth development through the arts and how it impacts the local economy.
Well, let's pause here and say, when people want to find out more about what ACT does, what's the website? And it's all, I'm sure the manifesto is, it's all laid out and explained there.
Yes.
The website?
Yeah, the website is artsconservatory4teens.org. Mm-hmm. Or you can just Google Arts Conservatory or Google Alex Harris Music St. Pete, some form of,
it'll come up.
You're finding a lot of great articles.
Essentially open to anybody.
Yes. Yeah. It's not just one particular group or population. Mm-hmm. Is what we found over the years is that regardless of socioeconomic status, every child needs this kind of accessibility and training opportunities to create this kind of clear pathway. We realize that a lot of time in communities that are under-resourced or underserved, they're extremely there's an extreme gap, right, from that kind of accessibility. But we're not limited just to the community, just to that particular community that where there are extreme gaps, but other communities that also just lack of knowledge of how to direct their child who may share an interest in pursuing this, and how, you know, that door or accessibility to that door, that knowledge and that door will be a major contributor to that child's development as well.
It makes for better people, which makes for better communities,
right,
which makes it better for all.
That's what we say, that the Arts Conservatory is, you know, building careers for healthier communities through holistic youth development. And that's really our new explanation from floor one to floor two. That's the elevator pitch. We're going to the 30th floor, you know.
Yeah,
that's a different conversation.
So you're from Manchester, Georgia, and I don't know where that is in Georgia.
Southeast of Atlanta. A better geographic kind of
close to what, Athens or something?
No, far from Athens. Oh. We're about 3 or 4 hours from Athens. Even though my number is 706 is kind of weird. But they have a 706 area code, Augusta 706 area code. But Manchester is near FDR's, Franklin D. Roosevelt, President Franklin D. Roosevelt's.
Warm little mineral springs? Or,
yes, yeah. Warm springs, but because of the warm the minerals in the warm water. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so the warm spring that was discovered by the Creek
that
natives.
That was in Georgia.
Yeah, that was discovered, and they built a rehabilitation center around that. So just a quick history lesson really quick to those who are listening is that there's a spring that is warm 365 days. I forget the temperature, so you have to look it up.
Yeah.
But it remains warm, even in the winters.
Yeah.
And it was discovered, the healing properties in the mineral water, I guess, is considered some forms of minerals that that offers healing. And it was discovered by the Creek natives, right? Or some people may say Creek Indians, but the Creek natives. President Franklin D. Roosevelt was treated there, they built regularly. And what I learned that the train
would
go
55
miles per hour, and then each still community wave, and taking forever to get back to D.C. and to Warm Springs. But they built what they called the Little White House, that was a replica of the White House in D.C., but it was much more smaller, and now it's a museum. So for those who want to go that area, or when you're in the area at Callaway Gardens or something, you can see. So we're 5 minutes away from
there. I was going to say, this has been a really nice history lesson, but let's get back to Manchester. Your father was a preacher, as I recall.
Is.
Oh, yeah. God bless you, man. So your story, I remember that you were a singer from a young age, wasn't it?
6 years old.
How many members of your family were in? It was A7, it was called.
A7. Well, before A7, it was A Boys and Girls, our sisters. Perform with us, and then they decided they didn't want to do this. two of the sisters, I have three. We became A Boys, and then later we said, okay, we're teenagers. We don't want to be looked at like just little boys, because people were like, oh, where are the A Boys at?
Yeah,
tall then. And
it's like Menudo. Once you get to be a certain age, they bring the younger ones.
And we didn't think it was as marketable.
Here comes Randy, the little guy.
We had just gotten a deal, a label deal as well. So we changed the name to A7.
Yeah.
And it was is five biological brothers. So and then one of our brothers is our godbrother, who grew up with us as well. So
yeah.
But it was six, and then the seventh represent the presence of God, right? Or in Hebrew means completion.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
So that they represent the presence of God is completing us. Right?
So there were six of you, and the presence of God was number seven.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of a little cool conversation.
Is this a gospel group or?
Yeah, we considered ourselves inspirational urban soul, believe it or not, and coined that title. That you can find that no one else has necessarily used that.
Also known as IUS.
Yes, and so it was it was a branch off from what we considered gospel at the time. The reason why, I think, because of the style and at that time was very different than what a traditional gospel band would be doing.
No, the time we're talking about in 80s, 90s?
No. This was early 2000s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I'm not that old.
Oh, come on. I'm just trying. I'm throwing a dart at the wall.
Was
what
five
year
years
was it?
But no, we were late teenagers and college students. But that was then, man. So we were doing our thing and very successful. We became 29 weeks, maybe give or take, on the Billboard in Billboard magazine. It was on the gospel chart still.
Uh-huh.
Don't Walk Away was a song that I had written when I was after class, I should say, and went to the music recording lab there, and with one of my brothers who was at the school at the time, and another friend of ours, and we recorded Don't Walk Away. Send it to some close associates or acquaintances of ours in Nashville.
Overdubbed the voices.
Dino Elefante. I was just getting some feedback.
Yeah.
And they were very successful in Nashville, two brothers. And they said, man, I think you got something. And so from then on, we got some investors involved. And then we ended up getting a deal. And We made a little bit of history, and then that was a platform for many other brothers to do what they're doing now in the music. My youngest brother's a producer, Grammy and Emmy Award winning producer. Another brother's a music director, just finished this last part of the world tour with Coldplay, musical director for Her.
Oh, yeah. And, Her was, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And yeah, so another brother, you know, that was the gateway for opening his interest to pursue the legal field and also get into entertainment law. And the other brothers, one is remains a school teacher, and the other is a author, speaker. He travels all over. Just got back from Singapore. So we've been busy.
Well, let me talk about you, because you have a master's in theology and social work from Boston University. And trumpets, folks, he's got a PhD from Nova Southeastern University. But and you're still a musician.
Yeah.
Where did this sort of education thing, where did you go, I got to do this?
You know, I was doing the work similar to this work that I'm doing here. I started to do it in Georgia. Started a soup kitchen on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
At the First Methodist Church there. And then I was doing work with the assisted living homes, as well as with the Boys and Girls Club of West Georgia. So that was really the inspiration behind pursuing sociology and undergraduate and pursuing MSW. And when I got to Boston University, though, because of my upbringing, and two of my brothers had gone to Emory and majored and got a theology degree as well.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, this is really cool. And I was ordained as a minister in my home church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd done a lot of work in the faith-based community.
Yeah.
And so I pursued, and I thought that, you know, should have expand the knowledge, and I focused on ethics and theology, and then in social work. Of course, it was a macro practitioner as opposed to clinical, and what that means for those who's listening. Clinical is more like the counselors who pursue that, or if you want to go into private practice. Macro, the ones who are doing what I do now, deal with systems, community, you know, organizations, etc. And so that's what I didn't have a very, very clear vision of exactly what I want to do, but I had somewhat of a 100,000 feet kind of idea. Wanted to do something that was non-traditional. Wanted to do something that was not sitting in an office and doing the one-on-one. Wanted to do more group work, and in a very big way. So I did my first internship at the Cambridge Wrench and Latin School High School, which was the largest high school in Cambridge, at the television station, and worked with the CCTV, which was the Cambridge Community Television, and creating Teen Talk television shows. So a lot of the work that I was doing up there, I started to do here, and it was the foundation for the Arts Conservatory for Teens, and doing, so, you know, over time, work with thousands of teens, because we work with hundreds up there over a period of 2 years. And when I graduated, they wanted me to come back and do some more work, and I did, and worked with Children's Services in Boston as well. And then I moved here, and I did that while I was teaching graduate students creative arts and theological practice. So.
Here's my conundrum. All right, and you and I have talked about this. I don't know how many times, but you know, you are, as the world knows, a hell of a singer. Okay, and.
Well, that's kind. Thank
well, you. Well, you know, hello, well, I should probably say he's a heck of a singer. But at any rate, I don't know a lot of musicians who would say, I'm going to do this, but I'm also going to do this community work and really work on people and humanity and sociological work, or whatever the umbrella term is. How can you do both?
Yeah, that's a great question and often asked that. I think that there is something I would like to take the credit of coining, called the artist social responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
The artist social responsibility.
Or ASR.
ASR for corporate social responsibility, as opposed to corporate social responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I had the idea. It's like, you know, corporate has its social responsibility focus, you know, perhaps, you know, as an artist, and I can introduce this idea to other colleagues and acquaintances, I think we have a responsibility. We've been entrusted with a gift that impacts humanity in the way that we are doing it on stage, and, you know, through our recordings and videos, etc.
Yeah.
Whether you want to categorize it as positive or negative, whatever, it is impacting. Right? It has a great influence on humanity's behavior, interaction, and cultural experience. And so I think for me, as one who believes that I'm entrusted with this amazing gift, which I believe is one of the most powerful elements of the universe, because I embody the sound and the melody and all these great things as a human being, but also able to recreate through song and performance, that it can be packaged in such a way to train others how to take on that responsibility responsibly and in a way that impacts continuously positively, whether it's audio engineering, lighting design, yeah, acting, dancing, and so on and so forth. And that really was the inspiration behind launching such an organizational concept initially, and to what we now know as a viable, growing organization that we base all of what we do on different research findings. And we also, through third party, evaluate our own curriculum and program practices with students through a third party evaluator.
But you're still trying to and succeeding at being a recording artist. You know, how do you go out? How do you make this career happen?
Build teams.
I only see one man sitting here. Wait a minute, who are all these
build teams? No, we've been able to provide it, create a whole another lane for those for teaching artists that we hire, professional teaching artists. We have other folks who now I was a one man band at one time, on the ground anyway, and always had someone else helping, but in the background. But we have a COO, we call our operationals chief now, and we have also director of curriculum and programming to carry out and to continue to build. We have a person we just brought on as creative features. So we're a growing organization.
So you were saying that over the 12 years, it was all you at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was running to every meeting, trying to fundraise, and hopping on a plane, going to perform when I was called to do so. Really great. This has always been the vision, that we can have our headquarters in St. Petersburg, license this to as many communities around the world that will embrace it at some point. That is not in the distant future at this point. We see it on a pathway to happen sooner than later. Excited about the new 11-song album that's coming out on Sonicky Entertainment.
Red Clay.
Red Clay.
Is that a reference to Georgia?
Yes.
Yeah. What? How did I know that?
Yeah. Red Clay. So it's more so to my upbringing in Manchester, and in the summers we would roll and play and get really, really, really dirty. So
oh, yeah.
I think I have to bathe twice, and our parents didn't love it so much. But at the same time, I think they did want to provide the environment and the context for us to have creative freedom, which has led to the multiple successes that we all possess today, siblings and I.
Is this the first full-length album? I mean, I remember Humanity,
album.
I remember Lose My Religion. Yeah. What was the other one I wrote down, which was so cool, which was Falling For You?
So
you've had singles.
And one EP. I did have a seven-song EP, but this is the first full album that is also going to be pressed on vinyl.
Oh,
it's also going to be pressed on CDs.
Very cool.
And it's going to be available digitally everywhere digital music is downloaded.
Which is the most successful of the tracks that you've had out?
The last two were pretty much equally successful.
Uh-huh.
Both charting. In fact, I just got the report. We were listed as in the top 50 again, in the top 20 of the top 50. Of songs that was on the Indie Soul radio, which is a global radio network.
You know, indie doesn't even mean that much anymore. Everything, pretty much, if you're not on Warner Brothers or whatever, it's indie.
Pretty much. You're
from
here,
there, and everywhere.
Or Sony, because, well, Warner
or
Brothers
Sony.
Is Warner Brothers.
Or Universal.
Yeah,
right.
That's right. It's Warner Brothers, Sony, and Universal.
Yeah.
Maybe Atlantic still maintains its own.
I'm not even sure about that, but I wanted to. So, where do you fall on this? This is something as a writer I come up with all the time. Would you call it soul music? Do you call it R&B? Do you call it?
I call it soul music.
Urban soul.
I call it soul music because it really lives in a now, because Americana is so broad, especially this new record. It is more in that lane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, R&B today, even traditional R&B, I would have been categorized probably previously, is now Beyonce. Yeah.
That ain't what you do, man.
No. That's not what I do. So I just tell people soul music, and it's something that, and the reason beyond just a genre and interpretation is something that I want to be seen that connect with the heart and soul of humanity. Oh, yeah. Through its lyrical content, through the story, you know, both in the song and in conversation, and how all this comes about. I want the audience and the listeners of this music that we're putting out this year and beyond to listen from that perspective, mm-hmm. right? Is great music, great song, but it tells a story, and behind the story that is being told is another story. And the reason I'm going, we were talking about titles of the album.
Yeah.
I had a list of ideas, and this one resonated with me because it really reflects my upbringing, and not only just paying homage to the Southern roots, but it has grit. It has, it's very celebratory of my entire upbringing around love and happiness, and talk about relationships and where it was and how it has evolved over time into now. And while singing songs of those who, in the category, I should say, of soul R&B traditionally, uh-huh. as in the 60s, like we remade, I Got Dreams to Remember by Otis Redding.
Oh yeah.
And so, but it is something. He's from Macon, Georgia.
Macon.
And so it is something to be said about the environment that allows me to make to really amplify my experience that's inspired not just from the artists who were categorized as soul R&B singers, but I think the alignment with very similar experiences as it relates to being from the South, being raised, being the son of a preacher, raised in gospel church and music and hand clapping and foot stomping and shouting and all the great stuff, expressions. There's a connection without even being in that particular era, right? That we share that goes back to then and past then, right? And how this experience is being expressed through the music, and that's what I mean about soul music. So I hope that the music becomes the vehicle for that gives me platform to talk about this, and even a greater platform that share in many ways an expanded definition around why I call it soul music, or the soul music according to Alex Harris.
Now you just mentioned Love and Happiness, and I think that's an Al Green song.
It is Al Green.
And as soon as you said that, I went,
Before my time.
Yeah, man. And I'm saying I hear a lot of Al Green in you sometimes when you get down, just the way you kind of push things out in a very cool way. And I'm making connections here, folks. So listen, we are out of time, but we do want to talk about An Evening of Soul, which is Saturday. That's tomorrow, folks, if you're listening to this on Friday the 12th, that is, at the Palladium Theater. This is Alex Harris with Zoe.
Zoe and Tall Black Guy.
Oh, they're together.
Yes.
Zoe and Tall Black Guy and Jay Brown. Okay, give us a quick hit on who these people are.
Zoe and Tall Black Guy, just amazing. You would consider like neo soul jazz artist. He's a great musician, producer, writer. And then Jay Brown is also more R&B soul as well. He just had the number one song in Billboard magazine for 3 weeks. He's a good friend of mine. We had him here before at the Floridian.
You did one of those Floridian
Social Club,
Is that series over, the Floridian Live? Was that Live on Central?
Live on Central is just Alex Harris Live now. We're exploring this other approach that we think that we hope will catch on to help continue to amplify the live music culture here.
I really liked what you'd said about that, how, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on the visual arts and other performing arts. Music is so important to
keep
things vibrant around here. It's been a big part of my life for my whole life.
Yeah, and we want to bring in all the great artists that are coming here, but there is another population of amazing artists that have followings, but aren't granted these type platforms, because St. Pete, as of today, is not a touring market.
Yeah.
But I think we have an opportunity to make it get on the radar, right? Because every artist doesn't have to stop in Tampa, or Orlando or Miami, they can come through here and then go to Orlando, right?
Keep making it happen.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're on that trajectory collectively as a community, that brings shows and not just limiting it to, you know, your A-list artists or those artists who are now considered, you know, legends, but also adding to that list those B, what we would consider B-list based on popularity and streams.
I live on the B-list. That's my life. Hey, An Evening of Soul is Saturday the 13th at the Palladium Theater in St. Petersburg. You can go to mypalladium.org and find out all about Alex Harris with Zoe and Tall Black Guy and Jay Brown. Again, that's Saturday the 13th. Alex Harris, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate for having me.
And we'll see you down the road.
Yes.